The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 1 hour on Grant and Danny at 4 o'clock, our Beltway Blitz, but more important for you guys, a chance to win tickets to go to the Capitals game next week. Hottest ticket in town, best team in the East. They are rolling. If you want to go see the Caps, you got to be listening right at 4 o'clock on The Fan. Austin Eckler's on the show today at 5. Excited about that. And we should let everybody know that this Friday, our field trip series continues. We're broadcasting live from Springfield at the Hard Times Cafe. Cannot wait to get out there and see everybody at Hard Times in Springfield.
Bart Scott said it best, and I'll say it too. Can't wait. As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
About a month ago, it seemed like a possible foregone conclusion that Cliff Kingsbury was going to be a hot head coaching candidate. Then Washington hit a skid over three games, looked like maybe in the second half they may come crashing back down to earth, would make it a little bit less likely that he got a head coaching job. But after they balled out, had one of their best games of the season, they get back on track this past week. It's back on the table that they could finish in the top five in a bunch of categories, and he will have just put together a season with a rookie quarterback that was fairly historical, and he'll get a lot of credit deservedly for that and for this scheme. I think he's been invaluable to Daniels and this offense. If all of those things play out, he's going to interview for a bevy of jobs. And the question we have for you guys is, number one, do you think he would leave Washington for a head coaching vacancy, leave Daniels behind? Number two, if he does, is that a speed bump or is that a real issue? Because I think it's the second one. I think anytime you lose a coach, you go into year two with a young quarterback and you're changing a bunch of things offensively, that's a recipe for slowing down progression and stunting development. I hate it so much, and it's a frustration of mine that teams, you know, generally have to deal with when they draft the right guy and have a defensive-minded coach, and everyone says, oh, we'll worry about that when you get there. Okay, well, you're headed toward
four games away from it.
Yeah. So now what? The Bears, I mentioned, is the only team I could see him going to. Somebody tweeted me, how about this, Danny? Someone said, what about the Cowboys?
Cowboys.
If Mike McCarthy gets fired, which I sneaky think he's going to keep his job, by the way. But if Mike McCarthy gets fired, you get to go coach Dak, who's a top 10-ish quarterback in the NFL. It's not a bad gig.
There's a good starter kit there, right? I know Dak gets beat up an awful lot, and that's fine. I know he's been hurting a bunch, too.
You could line CeeDee Lamb up on the left every single down.
God dang it!
I'm sorry.
I'm driving my little beater down the highway to the bit. And you just zipped right in on the merge lane and beat me to Bit Town.
That's my fault.
I got nothing else. You got, enjoy the rest of the show, everybody. That hurts when that happens. No, but it's honestly not that awful of a situation. I know they're terrible right now, and it's fun when they're terrible, and let's all tap dance. But there are a few playmakers down there. They've drafted pretty well historically. I'm not counting them out for the long term.
To the phones we go, 800-636-1067. Do you think Cliff Kingsbury is going to leave this offseason? Let's go to Nick in Leesburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I don't think Cliff is going to leave. I have three reasons, and I'm going to make them quick. One, you have a diamond with Jaden Daniels, and I'll leave it at that. If you want to go back to Caleb, you're kind of crazy, but to each his own. The second thing is the cap space. Guys, we have so much money. It's like $122, $123 million to spend in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Cliff's got his hand in the cookie jar. He can have a say, you know what I mean, bring in his playmakers. He's already got the quarterback. And I don't know. And the last thing would be, this is all new, and Cliff is a part of it. I don't think leaving, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got something good going.
It's true. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you, except that, first of all, I could just stop it. I'm with you because I do think he will be here next year. But you said he's a part of it. He could run it. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
With the Bears, it's your show now. You and Ryan Poles are Quinn and Peters. Very different than he's a part of it. And you mentioned all the money Washington has, over $100 million in cap space. You know who else is in the top five in money? The Chicago Bears.
Just behind Washington, yeah.
So I think it's going to have to be a really good opening. I just think that's a really good opening. And for me, it comes back to the question, which is, do I buy the couple people that have told me this guy doesn't want to deal with all the media stuff, he doesn't really want to do all the head coaching stuff, he kind of enjoys just getting to be a coordinator and handling the offense? You hear that from time to time. Sometimes it's true. But when someone dangles $8 million in front of you per year and one of 32 jobs in the world, do you pounce? I think that's a fair question.
It's very fair. And again, if all situations are equal, we're not talking about going to take another OC job somewhere else. That's the difference to me. When you go, he's part of something here, he could be part of something there, that's different. You already said it. He'd be running the show, getting a chance to prove that everyone else was wrong. Everyone that said, you're not the answer in Arizona. Every, you know, yokel like me that's like, the offensive regression of the second half. You get to shut people like me up. Your gig, your money, your program. That is a tempting piece of fruit to resist.
By the way, he called from Leesburg. I was in Leesburg this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I went out to Luckett's Holiday House, which is a great play. Mm-hmm. It's just so fun to get you in the holiday spirit. But, you know, I'm a Leesburg guy.
You're a Leesburg guy.
I want to move to Leesburg. My wife won't let us. She thinks it's too far away. I wouldn't like the commute, which she's right about. But I bring this up to tell you, have you ever eaten at a place called Melt?
Melt provides cheeseburgers to people.
They do.
And what you should do, if you're within, what would you say, 3 hours of Leesburg?
Yeah.
Go there now and go to Melt.
Melt.
That's what I would say to
cheeseburgers.
Do.
Cheeseburgers. One of the best burgers I've ever
They're
had.
They're fantastic.
And we went out of, we were 20 minutes away. We're mm-hmm. like, we just go here. We're like, no, you know what? People always tell us to go to Melt. Let's go try it.
Go to Melt.
We dragged kids along. They were a lot to deal with. They didn't make it a fun time.
Wait, your kids didn't cooperate?
But the burger was a 10,
mm-hmm.
Miss Davis.
Mm-hmm.
A 10. Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
Christopher.
What's up? Now you got me hungry for burgers. Listen, we should be very worried. I can't remember an offensive coordinator who was discussed as much as Cliff Kingsbury in Washington. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of fans think he's the head coach, because we barely discussed Dan Quinn. But I want to play devil's advocate for the defensive-minded figurehead coach, Grant, if I may, for a minute.
Yeah,
because
go for it.
There are actually many examples currently and in NFL history of teams having long-term success with a defensive-minded head coach. You forgot to mention Harbaugh. I know he was a special teams guy, but he's not an OC, and he's the second longest tenured coach in the league.
Yeah,
and the Ravens have been one of the best teams in football.
True. So he was hired in that same era, which is, you know, over 15 years ago. But also, defensive minded to me is different. But if you want to say non-offensive, that's fine. It's still, you got to go back over a decade and change to find a guy that has gotten several contracts, that has persevered as offensive people came and went.
Okay, but I mean, Bill Belichick had a carousel of OCs, and his team was one of the,
the
best.
Him and Tomlin are the examples.
Okay, but hear me out for a second. If you're the offensive-minded head coach, as you so desire, and I tend to agree with that, but just for a second, if you're the offensive architect and the head coach, and suddenly the offense does not perform well, you don't have a lot of outs.
Yeah, we call that right? The Brian Billick.
Right. if your offense stops working and you're the head coach, you're probably going to be fired very soon because you don't have many options for changing your subordinates, or you can't change the offense because you're the architect. If you're a defensive figurehead sort of coach, you can do a lot of plug. You have more outs available to you to sustain the team culture, the infrastructure, while having changes in succession at the offensive coordinator position.
I think that's probably fair. I would say most defensive coaches call defensive plays, so it would be similar. But I think you're probably right about that. I'd have to look into it. Again, for me, it's just nothing is a rule. There are no rules. You shouldn't draft a running back in the top five. Well, every now and then Saquon Barkley or Adrian Peterson comes along, right? I don't do rules. I'm not saying you should never draft a defensive-minded head coach. Hire. Like, Mike Tomlin could coach for me any day of the week. But what I'm saying is the information is the information. The data in the league over the last 10 to 15 years is what it is. We don't have to regurgitate it all. But my point is, this is the issue if it rears its head. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully they found the coordinator who wants to stay put, a la Ben Johnson. And I don't want to say it's a trend, but that would be two guys in short order, which hasn't happened in a long time, who bucked opportunities because they had a good coordinating situation and less in their life that they had to deal with. That would be great for Washington, and I hope that that happens. Kendall's in Temple Hills. What's up, Kendall?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
You make some good points, Grant. I don't think he's going at this time. I think that there is a situation out there, perhaps similar to what Chicago has in the future, but I think it's some truth to the fact that he doesn't want to deal with the head coaching stuff right now. And he's in a situation where he can groom a young superstar, and I don't know if he wants to give up on that. But if he does, I guess I'm just not of the opinion. I think it's not ideal to switch a OC, and it's not ideal perhaps even to have a defensive-minded head coach, although what I do disagree with you on is the fact that the most important aspect of coaching is leadership, in my opinion. And I think that that transcends whether you're offensive coordinator, defense coordinator. I get everything you're saying about losing that OC, but I think Dan Quinn is a leader of men. And I think that's just more important to me than it is to have a nerd calling plays. You know, I just hate to say it, but I mean, that's what I believe.
No, it's fair, but I don't even want to get back into the, like, this is now becoming the defensive-minded head coach conversation. Dan Quinn's got the boys 8-5, having a good year. No reason to go down that road right now. The question, I guess, is, do you think Kingsbury leaves? And if he does, how damaging would it be?
Yeah, I don't think he leaves, but if he did leave, I do think they've layered the organization. And I do get what you're saying about the Atlanta situation, but I just think that they'll be okay. I think they can bring somebody up from within. And, yeah, it won't be Kingsbury, but I think that Jaden will survive.
And that's the hope, right, is that there's some continuity there. Even if it means, just I'm making this up, but Kingsbury goes and Tevita Pritchard's his OC now, right? So Pritchard is the quarterback's coach, but he could be elevated to a much higher role in the new place. So, okay, now what do? You're missing two of the four guys and probably two of the most popular guys in terms of Daniels and the offense. How do you survive that? I mean, even look at good situations. When we're talking about Baltimore, think of Buffalo, for example. It's been Daboll, it's been Dorsey, it's been Joe Brady, or just over the last handful of years, and the Bills keep winning. Though I think the only point I don't want to speak for you is, hey, just acknowledge that this is a challenge. That's all we're saying. That's all anybody is saying about having the defensive-minded head coach is an offense performs well, that OC becomes sexy, and maintaining that continuous pipeline is the challenge built in. On paper right now, Washington's done an excellent job, in my opinion, of layering talent. Young, recent, I call them recent graduates, they're not, but recent players, David Blau, all the way up to experienced assistants, guys that are taking lesser roles here than they had before.
Yeah, they've built Johnson, an awesome staff.
They've built the staff. So if all you're doing is losing one person who was instrumental, Cliff Kingsbury, and everyone gets promoted, probably not that big a deal. But if the staff gets raided, now what?
Yeah, so that would be interesting. The other thing is, Brian Johnson, I don't know enough about. I've never talked to him or met him. But when he ran his shop in Philly last year, remember, he got ran out of Philadelphia as their play caller and their OC, like head on a platter style. Him and Sirianni were butting heads, did not go well. I'd be curious to see like what that looks like with a fresh start for him with Jaden Daniels, because there is a caveat to all of this. which needs to be acknowledged, which is if you have one of the great quarterbacks in the league, then nothing matters. It doesn't matter who your GM is or your head coach is or the skill group is. Like Josh Allen in Buffalo, to your point on McDermott, or Ron Rivera was in a Super Bowl with when Cam Newton just decided to put a cape on and carry them to 15-1 as the MVP of the league, throwing 35 touchdowns and running all over the place. Like, if you have a quarterback who's the best player on the field every single week, then a lot of things don't matter as much. And maybe, while that's an impossible path to actually find and walk down, maybe they found it. You know, maybe they have one of those MVP-type elite quarterbacks. I think that's certainly the hope. Vanessa, Largo, are you worried that Cliff Kingsbury is going to walk?
Initially, I wasn't. About a month and a half ago, I was driving, listening to sports radio, and the guy was conversation was about Jaden Daniels. And then all of a sudden, he said, well, Jaden's going to have new coaches next year. And I was hysterical. I was like, why? You know, I couldn't understand that. I was like, do they know something that we don't know? And then I was talking with a friend, and he was saying, well, you know, the one thing about these coaches, when you have a lot of success and they're doing well, you have to worry about keeping them. And in order to keep them, you have to pay them. You know, so I'm just wondering, you know, does money play a part of if he goes or stays or whatever? How does that work?
Sure, they could give him a raise if he got offered the job. They could name him the assistant head coach.
Or associate head coach or whatever
there's
label.
There's a bunch of things they could do. But if they give him permission to do interviews, which you almost always are going to do with your coordinators, I don't know teams that don't, then when he gets offered the job, you're still being paid as a coordinator. Maybe you're the highest paid coordinator in the league, which, by the way, Eric Bieniemy was last year in Washington when they paid him all the money. But you're still going to be handsomely paid, but you could get 2-3 times, maybe whatever it is, as a head coach and run your own organization. It's just a matter of, like, is he the kind of guy that could be content as a coordinator forever? There are people like that, you know, that just don't feel like they need to be the alpha, that don't need to be leading the speech right before the game, that are happy just sitting up in the booth or on the sideline and kind of calling plays into the headset. Is he one of those guys? You know, when I'm told he really hates doing all the media stuff and all the non-football stuff, he just wants to be a football robot, is that true? Because if it is, then, I mean, he could be an OC lifer then. It's a pretty good life, by the way.
It ain't bad, yeah.
You know, you're going to make a handful of million dollars a year at your peak, probably a few million dollars right now, and you don't have to answer as many tough questions after games.
Once a week, you can just say, we'll look at that, we'll do it the best we can, we'll get back and watch the film, and see you guys next week.
Let's go to Andre in Upper Marlboro. Kingsbury's a hot name. You heard Ian Rappaport saying he'll be in the mix for the Bears. What do you think?
I have to agree with everything everybody said, but one thing I'm going to throw out there that I think could play on our side. Yeah, they could offer him a deal he can't refuse, and I think that deal is going to have to be a lot of dollars and power. But if he stays here, based on the fact that our expectations of fans were set coming into the season, look, they're going to be sorry for 2 to 3 years. One, the Commanders are further along. So could it be like that freshman coming out of college thing where, look, he comes out, he can make money, but if he stays one more year, like if he stays one more year with the Commanders and they progress even more, does that make his value even more valuable and then he leaves after next year?
Value meaning how much he can make as a head coach?
Exactly, because, you know, that's what it's going to boil down to is dollars.
Right. So, like, in the way that supposedly Ben Johnson, the rumor was looking for second contract money, meaning I get my extension. Mm-hmm. I'm up over 10
I'm a bona fide winner from somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe if Kingsbury's looking for, hey, I want that money, they're going, no, dude, you had one head coaching job and you got fired. If he goes and has another big year, and instead of being rookie of the year, Daniels wins MVP, and instead of making the playoffs and getting beat pretty quickly, Washington plays in an NFC championship game, and instead of ranking, you know, seventh on offense, they rank one or something, then are you able to take that to the negotiating table? I think that's a smart call. Let's pivot to this. Is Daniels the key ingredient here? I feel like there's a possibility that you just don't want to leave him. I mean, as a coach who calls plays, your whole perception is, you know, the on-field success, you are tied to the decision-making and the play of that quarterback. That's a gift to be with a guy like Daniels if he's as good as it looks like he's going to be. I mean, could he be the reason maybe that Kingsbury would stay? Like, would you rather run your own shop and work with Caleb Williams? or just stay here and be an OC and call plays for Daniels, who's had a better season. G&D on the Fan.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Thank you, Earl. How about that update? OV skating again on the ice yesterday. Well ahead of schedule, it feels like, for that 4 to 6 week recovery. Now, it was a light skate. It wasn't like he was, you know, slamming on the brakes and skating like he would in a game. But still, feels like the earlier part of that window maybe than the latter.
Yeah, not in a cast with his feet up eating Cheetos. Like, what? Like, he is built by Cyberdyne Systems. He's here to find Sarah Connor. Like, are you kidding me?
If he comes back like he never missed a game, because remember, he was on one of the great heaters of his entire career when he got hurt. If he comes back and strings a couple games together with goals, I mean, it would even make it just more entertaining.
Like, it's already stupid.
Yeah.
We're half past that.
Wizards losers of 14 in a row. They did no win November. So good for the Wizards. They successfully... It's hard to get through November, right? With no win November. Nobody really wants to do that. But the Wizards found a way. And kudos to them. Congratulations. No win November for the Wizards. A rousing success. They are Cooper flagging.
Get it. Keep going. Do not stop.
You can do it.
Full send. Let's go. Bring Bob Henley out of retirement and just wave him in.
Who wants Kyle Kuzma? Who wants Jordan Poole?
Seriously. Well, they got to get Kuzma to start playing better, by the way.
Like, that would be nice. I think they missed the boat on him. There was a time about a year ago where I feel like, and I don't know anything, but there was probably a market where he was playing pretty well. He ain't that right now.
Yeah, the 6'10 guy with one rebound the other night, that's just tough for me to watch, and the excuses that they make, and that's all fine. But him without the ball in his hands as much, because they're showcasing Jordan Poole, he could help a contender being your sixth man. They need Kuzma to do some stuff and then say, anybody? Sold.
I have no idea who to credit this to, so I won't even try. But I was doing my normal social media addiction scrolling, like reels or whatever. And just videos will pop up on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this, but this was a viral thing. The Lakers were playing the Suns recently, and it was like a one-minute excerpt from that game. And the clip said something, the caption was, how are we feeling about the NBA right now or something? And it was, I mean, it was exactly what like SNL would do for a sketch about the perception of the NBA. It was like this no defense, go down the floor, terrible long three miss, other side, terrible, and they did it like 4 or 5 times in a row. Then a dude drives with no defense and misses inside. Finally, someone makes a basket and it ends. But depending on the game you check out, there are some tough ones to get through this time of year in the NBA.
Yeah, and then it's like, what did this guy wear to the arena? And with more on that, let's go to a person that talks about what he wore to the arena. And then where might this guy go in the offseason, or where is he going to force a trade to? It's at an all-time low for me. I love basketball so much. I grew up loving the NBA, even with my stupid Bullets, terrible my whole life. But I feel like I'm on the shore, and that ship is slowly drifting. I can still see it. Maybe I could swim to it, but it's like, come back to me.
Are you on the Pauly, or are you in the water?
Now, you're doing a Pauly Shore bit.
Yeah.
And I'm in on that. I just didn't know how to answer the question right.
It seems like you weren't initially in.
No,
like,
I am.
I may have got you just a tad.
No, well, see, I brought up like the Weasel, like the Pauly Shore bit. I lived through the whole Pauly Shore time when he was a thing, by the way.
What was that movie where like he brought some like caveman to life?
I think
is that Encino Man?
Encino Man.
No,
excellent pull.
I don't think it is.
No, I think you're right. It's Brendan Fraser.
Yes. Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
Brendan Fraser. Brendan.
Who won an Academy Award recently.
For that, for Encino Man?
No, I think the whale is what he won.
It was.
They actually were like, you know, we just recounted, you deserve this for Encino Man.
This is a Lifetime Achievement Award. It's like Scorsese didn't win for his best stuff.
Wouldn't that be hysterical?
Yes.
If he won like a Lifetime Achievement and they're like, Mummy 1 and Mummy 2 and all the movies where you lead kids with backpacks on through caves. No, that's basically
it's
what
like
he did.
Meryl Streep and, like, and George Clooney up there in the dress to the nines, and she's like, "Oh, it's for Mummy 3."
Oh, we've been talking Cliff Kingsbury. I want to get back to the phones in a second. So here's my question. I was talking about Jaden Daniels being the reason to stay. I think he does give them a chance to keep Cliff around. Now, if let's say Daniels was not looking like the answer, and or at number two, let's just say, I'm weird hypothetical, but they took a tackle or something, and Sam Howell was still the quarterback, and they didn't have a QB, I could absolutely see Kingsbury going, yeah, I'm good on this. I'll go work with
him. Not hitching my wagon to that.
I think that's your best selling point is, really? You want to leave this guy? If he leaves, it's a big deal to me just because I know that they have smart young people. None of them have done it at a high level. Brian Johnson got a shot last year. It went badly. I look forward to him getting another shot. I'm sure it could go better. I think David Blaubus and everyone talking to me and telling me about around the league what this guy's about will eventually be a star. Is he ready for that? I don't know. They got one guy in their building who's done it at a high level for many years, and that's Cliff. And if he were to leave, I would be nervous.
Yeah, I mean, you can best lay plans, right? And as Mike Tyson famously said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Well, if just Kingsbury goes, they've layered, they've prepared for this, but you're still talking about guys that haven't necessarily done it, right? Like everyone slides up a notch on the hierarchy. That's a great plan. It is. It's smart.
You're
but
Cliff.
What
do
we know?
Leave Washington for the Bears head coaching job.
If I'm Cliff, yeah.
You would.
Mm-hmm.
I would too, but do you think he'll get it? I think that's got Ben Johnson's name written all over it.
It could, honestly.
To me, that's why Ben Johnson maybe last year pulled out when he did. Is just kind
thinking
of waiting
of that,
for
yeah.
that gig.
I mean, to me, there's very few that I wouldn't take.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't go to Jacksonville and leave Washington.
I mean, again, it's head coach money. I know it's not my fault when I get blown out of there in 2 years.
So but you're thinking about this as respectfully, because you do, you know, you're fine. You live a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who would love millions and millions of dollars. Cliff Kingsbury's already made them. Like, money should not really be his deciding factor.
Mm.
He's got so much money in the bank.
So do everybody that signs for the highest bidder. You know,
I get that, but I'm saying it's
4X
not like,
is nothing to sneeze at.
I agree with you. That's fair. Because I always say, you know who wants 4 million? You know, the person who has 4 million.
Who has 3.5.
Exactly.
You know, of course you do. So, but to me, A, 4X, B, I know I'm over talking about this, but the arrogance that these guys all have, that their way is the way. And all I want to do is show you my way against your way. Watch, I'm going to beat you. That's what drives them. That's why they wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go to bed at midnight.
So you don't buy when I'm told by people he wants to not deal with all the other stuff and just be an OC.
Now, I've never spoken to him, so yeah. I have no idea. I've never had him down on the couch and had him, you know, say his mind to me. But it's hard for me to wrap my head around that. I think that's something you say because you don't want to be seen. He's already flirting with 17 other teams. You know, like 1 foot out the door. I've always thought that this was. Everybody's using each other. Eyes wide open, right? Where he's using us to get himself a high profile again. We're using him to build this offensive system that he's going to pass down to the next guy.
Let's go to Isaiah in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Isaiah?
What's good, G&D? How y'all doing?
Hey, buddy.
All right, cool. So, of course, you got to bring it up in conversation and everything like that. I really don't think Cliff's going anywhere. I don't think you have a good season or anything like that, and then hit the bricks once you get a good offer. I think they're going to do what Ben Johnson did. You know, he was offered all of this money, all of these coaching gigs, all this power, and he decided to stick with his team. You understand stuff like come with this. It comes with passion. It comes with emotion. You build relationships and everything. And I understand business is business, but all of that because it's a sports game. The sports game comes with passion and everything. So, but I think they're going to do it. They're probably going to sign a contract for him. I really think he stays for about 4 more years. If you ask me, it's just way too much good things that's going on. We have good momentum. Nobody, if you said we were even going to win like 5 games straight to become 7-2 in the offseason, we would have probably laughed at that or anything. Nevertheless, making the playoffs. So it's just too much success. It's too much momentum going on. Cliff doesn't go anywhere. That's my final remarks. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. That 4 years is bullish, respectfully. Like, I don't know. Maybe somebody's perfectly content and never, ever wants to answer a question at the podium again and wants to be out of the spotlight forever, and this really is the perfect storm. It's just hard for me to believe that.
Well, think about how shocked people were when Ben Johnson didn't leave 2 years ago. And then you add to that with everyone being stunned last year. He still hasn't gotten to 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, coordinators that are sought after do not stay for 4 years unless they just never want to coach again. And I'm not going to put Cliff in that category. Reggie's in Charlotte. What's up, Reggie? Reggie, listening on the Odyssey app. How are you,
buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call. I do want to say that it may take him, it may be a good shiny penny in him to look at Jaden and dangle that in front of him and say, okay, Cliff will stay because of Jaden. But if you look at like somebody like Chicago, same thing. You're going to have next year, you have a second year quarterback just like Jaden. But I'm looking at the wide receiver room. That wide receiver room looks a little bit better than ours. I'm looking at the defense in Chicago. That defensive room looks a little bit better than ours. And if he's looking to get back in there and prove it, hey, it wasn't me in Texas Tech. It really wasn't me in Arizona. Here's another chance for me to stick it to y'all. I've got a better opportunity with a little bit better talent. I really don't have to build as much through the draft as I do with Washington next year. He may bolt to Chicago with the same amount of cap space, with a little bit better talent, and that may be a little bit more appealing to him. And he may very well leave, and Jaden may not be enough to dangle in front of him to get him to stay.
Reggie, much tougher division. You're going to play with Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota. How much should that be a factor?
So, to me, I look at it the other way, and I agree with you on that, but I look at it the other way because coaches think a little bit differently. They don't think like, oh, it's tough over there. I'm good here as the offensive coordinator. Coaches think like, you know what? My way is going to be able to beat that defense in Detroit. My way will be able to beat that defense in Green Bay, and I'm going to show people that I'm going to come in, implement my scheme, and I'm going to be a better team because I'm competitive, and that's just my mindset. He's not going to run from that. Coaches are built a little bit different and a little bit more competitively, but I like the point.
Thanks, Reggie.
Appreciate you, dude.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they consider. I just know what I would consider. And if I'm thinking about trying to win hardware, that's as tough a division in the league as there is to go to.
Right now it is, yeah.
But I'm with him. I would leave for Chicago like you would. Would you leave for Dallas? I should have asked him that.
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah, I mean, even though I know Jerry's going to Jerry, and it's such a high-profile gig, man.
That's hard. I was about to say absolutely not. But you're right. You're probably the most popular head coach in the NFL if you go to Dallas.
You get paid at the Yang.
Yeah.
You do that, and then you probably go to television afterwards. I almost called Brad Garrett from Everyone Loves Raymond. Jason Garrett, the clapper, gets his 8 years to just, you know, be a marionette on the sideline, and now is on NBC.
Rory Winchester, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I'm just picturing Brad Garrett coaching the Cowboys.
Hey, Raymond.
The first thing I have is I don't think anything about this matters if Jaden's the guy. If Jaden's the guy, I mean, you can look at the history. Once you're the guy no matter who's, you know, your coordinator. That's my opinion. And then the other thing is, Danny, have you ever read the Cosmere series?
No.
Good. Brandon Sanderson. Very good.
I love Sanderson so much. What? How do you spell Cosmere? Is it Cosme? How do you spell it?
Yeah.
It's S-A-M-C-O-S-M-I.
Oh, man.
Sam Cosme. Sorry. Say it again.
C-O-S-M-E-R-E.
Okay. Thank you. It's on the list.
That was some nerdery right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, just a couple of nerds hanging out and talking.
Everything okay? We good to move on? Or? We need to talk about the ring and where it's at and who's going to take it.
This is totally different fantasy genre. This is Brandon Sanderson, buddy.
Oh, of course. I heard Brandon Sanderson can spin a yarn, that guy.
Well, actually, I did read Mistborn, so I didn't realize that was part of the series.
I'm sure.
So, well, Mistborn was really good. I mean, it was. You know, there's a plot twist in there that you'll never see coming. I guarantee you read that book, you will not see it coming. I'm telling you right now.
I can promise you, if I read that book, I would not see it coming.
You would not see it coming.
Nor would I get to the part where it happens.
You go, what? I missed it the whole time?
Double Play is next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Every day at 3:45 on Grant and Danny, we give you a Double Play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Should point out that on Friday, we will be in Springfield at Hard Times Cafe for what is going to be our first training camp, field trip stop before a bye week, I should say. We have not this season done one of these prior to not having a game, but it makes it that much more entertaining, I think, to kind of celebrate the 13 weeks prior, the 8 wins. By the way, the first time Washington's 8-5 or 8 wins in week 13 since 1996 when Terry Allen was their running back. My goodness. Henry Ellard was going for 1,000 yards and Ken Harvey was headed to the Pro Bowl with Darryl Green.
And by the way, that's not that special. 8-5 isn't that unbelievably great. Teams are routinely 10-2, 9-4, or whatever, right? Just the idea that it hasn't even been okay, or even pretty decent. Dare I say good in, what is that, 28 years? I'm the most sure, by the way.
We're giving away Caps tickets at the top of the hour in about 10 minutes, and Austin Eckler's on the show at 5 o'clock, so make sure you're listening as we continue on The Fan. But Danny, it is time for your double play.
My friend, Yellowstone Season 5 Part 2, so I'm just going to call it Season 6. They're doing this whole bit where it's the second part of Season 5. This is really, really hard to do, and I fully admit this. It can never be as good without Kevin Costner. That's not a spoiler alert. They couldn't come to agreement. He, Taylor Sheridan, Paramount Plus, you guys know the whole story by now. Or if you don't, doesn't matter. He's not on the show. They had to write around that, which is really, really hard.
For just real quick, Kevin Costner on into bigger and better things, or he got into a fight with the director? Like, what happened?
So it's a depends on who you ask. Okay. But here's the old Rainey Duyer interpretation, and someone's going to yell at me online, and that's fine. He had a bunch of projects, and he didn't want to shoot as much. Because you got to go out in the middle of nowhere, and you're basically living there for months and months and months at a time. It's a pretty intense thing. It's longer than a movie. You're basically living on a ranch in Montana for a long time. And I know you're like, oh, it's not real work. But still, you're away, and you're away from home. And he's a big star, and he's old, and whatever.
It's definitely work.
So he wanted to shoot less. He had this project that he really wanted to do really badly, this multi-part Western series, ironically, that flopped beyond compare. Nobody cared.
The thing that was in the theater?
Yeah, it was like...
It was like 2.5 hours
long? Yeah, it was like Horizon West or The New West Part 1 and Part 7.
I did not see it, but it looked awful.
Yeah, nobody cared, right, about it. So he basically kept saying, hey, I want to do it, but I want to do it on my terms. They finally said, hey, we got to start. Then they couldn't come to an agreement and sort of moved on. And he was, you know, doing the same thing Steve Carell did when he left the office. Like, I would have, but they did it. And they're going, we would have, but he didn't. So I don't know who's at fault. Probably him, probably them. I have no idea. But he's not on the show. And so you can get away with it for a while. They have to write around it and do the best job they can. The characters on the show are so good. And it's so well acted. And they're so three-dimensional. And they've got so much depth to them that now they're doing some other stuff in to fill this vacuum. Away from Costner's character, John Dutton, it's still wildly entertaining. It can never be the same without him. And so a lot of folks who are watching the show, and it's still just an unbelievable achievement, as good a show as you have found on television in some time. I mean, it's up there with Sopranos, Mad Men, The Wire, some of the Breaking Bad, some of the great shows ever. Different genre, obviously, but still outstanding. It's not the same without him. So that's all anybody can focus on, and they're crying, and they're pissed off, and they're mad. Instead, I'm dealing with more pragmatically. I know it's not the same without him. I'm still wildly entertained. You now have one of the heir apparents dipping back into the thing that conflicted him for the first couple of seasons of the show. Like he has to slip into his old way of doing things again to kind of help fill this void. And it's awesome to watch him wrestle with it. Just things like that are incredible. Heartbreaking part of it this week as well. But I won't spoil it for you at all. But just know that this show continues to be awesome. If you've written it off because he's not on it, you're making a mistake. It's not as good as it was. Very little is in a sixth season of the original.
I think this guy needs to leave as soon as possible. I saw this, I think, via Barstool's Twitter account. But there is this Reddit thread that went viral where a 28-year-old man was telling everyone about his 29-year-old fiance who wanted a hall pass before their wedding. He said, is my relationship over? Should it be over? We've been together for 4 years now, and it seemed like everything was great and mutual. Yesterday at dinner, my soon-to-be wife brought up the idea of both of us having a free hall pass before the wedding. This stupid idea of hers completely blindsided me. I could tell that she had been thinking about it for some time and just waiting for the perfect moment to bring it up. She said it would be healthy for our relationship and our marriage. It would get us off to a better start because of it. She also claimed it would help get everything out of our systems. In the 4 years we've been together, I've never thought about being with someone else, but it just sucks to know she doesn't feel the same way. He goes on to say more and more. So he's asking people, what should I do? Is there any answer other than call off the wedding at once?
I think Jordan Peele directed this movie, starring Daniel Kaluuya. Get out. immediately.
Run for the hills.
Go away. Yeah. She did you the biggest favor she possibly could have done. She saved you hundreds of thousands of dollars and lost time, resources, energy, misery with divorce proceedings down the line. Thank God that happened. Thank God. Seriously, I'm completely serious about it. She told you now. You could have walked down the aisle and done this nonsense later. Get out, bro.
Yeah, I think that this will one day be viewed as the greatest thing that ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
But she showed you what she's about here. You got to listen. If this little request doesn't end with 57 years of holy matrimony, I don't think.
Yeah, my buddy Joe Robinson, hilarious comic, has a great joke about this where he's like, you know, my wife and I came up with like a cheat list, like a hall pass list. You know, we each get one person. Hers is Matt Damon. And mine's Melanie. She lives next door. We'll see what happens. You know, like, it tells you the story.
That's great. Yeah, totally. And, you know, that's a fun thing couples will do and whatever. I don't think they're really, like, most of the time suggesting, hey, right before the wedding, let's just, as if it's, you know, generally speaking, if you're about to, like, try to stop drinking, you don't go out binging all night long as a healthy exercise. You know, that generally means you might have a little bit of an issue, like, I do that with my diet.
Sure.
You know, a lot of the time when I start a diet, I'll go, all right, I'm going to start on Monday, but Sunday, it's a 5,000 calorie disaster.
It's Saturday, let's go to five, guys.
You know what that means? I have an unhealthy relationship with food.
Let me write that down.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
So let's make a good decision here, buddy. Let's figure this out together.
Yeah.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, the Beltway Blitz, top of the hour. We'll give away those Caps tickets coming up as soon as we return.